I understood it, Leanne. I got it. All right. You guys, if you want to take out your outline or if in your Bible, we're going to be in Daniel chapter 3. We're in like part 10 of Unshakable Thriving in this in the test of life. We're going to finish up when the test is on. And last week we looked at what should I do when the test is on, and today we're going to look at what happens when I trust the Lord in the furnace. Now you can go back and get all these parts on the app Stitcher or podcast and from our website, and CDs back here that are free. I don't want you to miss any of these. These've been great for me. I hope they've been good for you. But today we're going to talk about faith in the furnace. In Daniel chapter 3, verses 19 says, "Then Nebuchadnezzar was filled with fury, and the expression of his face was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego." Does that ever hit home with y'all? Y'all ever notice how someone's face changes when it's filled with fury? So kind of keep that in mind. "He ordered the furnace heated 7 times more than it was usually heated." Now, why such an overkill there? If it'd kill you normally, why'd you have to get it hotter? He's just kind of overreacting there. "And he ordered some of the mighty men of his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their cloaks, their tunics, their hats, and their other garments, and they were thrown into the burning fiery furnace. Put all their clothes on. Because the king's order was urgent and the furnace overheated, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell bound into the burning fiery furnace." I want to give you a little side note here about, because to me it was just really extreme what King Nebuchadnezzar done. You know, he heated it up 7 times when they could have killed him anyway. Then he tied them up. The more, I want to tell you something, students, people in work, wherever you work, and you're getting attacked by folks because of your beliefs, the more extreme your attackers are, the more insecure they are. I mean, people who are secure about what they believe ain't insecure about what you believe. A man told me one time, says, "Jim, I'm okay with all this God stuff." He says, "But do you really believe that Jesus walked on water?" I said, "Yeah." "Really?" I said, "Yeah." And then I left it at that. I wasn't going to argue over that point. I believe. And I'm secure in knowing that I believe Jesus Christ walked on water. Whether he believes it or not, it's not up to me. It's I believe. And I'm secure that he did. But you'll notice, the more extreme your attackers are, the more insecure they are. Now, 6 things happened next after they were thrown into the fire. And when you know these six things, you're going to take a deep breath the next time you're in a fire. Or maybe if you're in one now. Today's a good day. If the heat's on in your life and you feel like you're going under, you're under an enormous pressure, today's a good day. Well, what happens when I trust God in the furnace? That's where we're at today. We talked about what to do. Now, what happens when I trust God in the furnace? You're going to get 6 benefits from God. And if you feel like you're going through hell right now, you better pay attention. And guess what? You better pay attention if you're not, because like Lee said, it's coming. It's coming. And, you know, we don't like to hear that. I certainly don't like to hear it either. But it's true. I mean, it's true. But you need to know what God has promised to do if you trust him. Number one, first thing that God's promised to do if you trust him, we're going to go through these pretty quick. I've got kind of a runny nose and cold, and that's why I got my things up here. I trimmed my mustache, and I don't have much to hold anything in. Number one, that God will walk through the fire with me. We got to remember that. That's just what's going to happen if we trust in Him, in God, that God will walk through the fire with me. We won't be alone. That God's presence that they just sang about will be with us. Look on your outline, verses 24 and 25. It says, but suddenly Nebuchadnezzar jumped up in amazement and asked his advisors. He said, didn't we tie up three men and throw them into the furnace? They said, yes, we did. He says, well, look now, he shouted. You can see four men now, unbound, walking around freely in the fire, unharmed. And the fourth man looks like a son of the gods. Woo! This is powerful right here. He said, he looks like a son of the gods. See, you know, sort of looks like an angel. He's not human. He's divine. Well, you know why? Because it was the Son of God. It was Jesus. Jesus was walking through the fire with them. And guys, today he promises to walk through the fire with you too. Jesus said that he will never leave you. Jesus said that he will never forsake you. Matthew 28:20 says, I will always be with you until the end of the ages. Jesus said he's always going to be with us. Always going to be with us. You remember that verse I gave you last week? How many people copied that down? Anybody remember Isaiah 43? See, I knew you wouldn't. That's why I'm going to read it again. 2 and 3. I want you to really go with it. Isaiah 43, 2 and 3 says, when you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. Through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. And when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. When you walk through the water, I will be with you. When you go through the fire, I'll be with you. He's going to be with you. We're not going to have to be alone. The second thing that we learn that what happens when I trust God in the furnace is this. Number two, God will burn off everything tying me down. I like this part. God will burn off everything tying me down. In the fire, did you notice they didn't get burned? It was important enough for them to write it down that they had to own all these clothes. They put on all these clothes and they're not even singed. They didn't even smell like fire. Did you notice the only thing that was burned was the ropes that the king tied them up with? Now this is important. This is the only thing that was burned was those ropes. Remember the king said they're walking around freely, not even burned. So I want to ask you, what's got you tied up? If you're in the fire now, what's got you tied up? Or maybe in your life, what's holding you back? What's limiting you from being that all you're meant to be? Then I want you to ask yourself, really, what does God need to burn off in my life that I can be free? What's holding you back? I'm going to talk about some things that held me back. But we'll get there. But what's holding you back as you go through the fire? But if you trust God, He will burn off these things that have been holding you back. And you're going to find out there's no limitation on your life if you let them go. If you let them go, if you let God burn them off, there's no. And I'm going to tell you something, guys. If you don't know it already, you're going to be tested with pain. But I want to tell you something I learned about pain and the years that I have been tested is this. Pain never leaves you where it finds you. Now, let me explain that. Pain picks you up here, but it drops you off over here. And what I mean by that is pain always changes you. It always changes your character. You can become better. Or you can become bitter. But pain never, ever, whatsoever drops you off where it found you. Picks you up here, drops you off over there. You're not the same woman after pain, are you? You're not the same man. Every pain that I went through, I can tell you I'm not the same man. Every struggle that I went through, I'm not the same man on the other side of it. It always drops me off at a different place. It's your character that's being tested. The Bible calls it being refined in the fire. And seeing every time I've came through there that I've trusted God, that I became more confident. I became more fearless. And God wants to burn the stuff in your life that's holding you back, and sometimes you have to go through a fire. Isaiah 48:10 says this, I have refined you, but not in the way silver is refined. Rather, I have refined you in the furnace of suffering. Guys, we're going to go through some suffering. Many, many times we're going to suffer. Paul Revere not only shouted, the British are coming, but he was a silversmith. And I remember reading one time they asked him about, he was talking about silver being refined, and heat does it. Heat does it, and they said, how do you know that it's ready to go? How do you know it's been refined? He said, well, the heat, what it does, it takes away all the impurities, and the silver becomes bright and shiny. He says, you look down in there, and you can see your reflection. Then you know the silver's refined. You see, God does that with us. And that's what that verse is talking about. God refines us in the fire, in the tough times, in the troubles. And when he looks down and sees his reflection, we've become more Christ-like because we've been refined in the fire, much like silver. And we become to look like him, made in his image and Christ-like. Now, that's good stuff. Y'all should have said, that's all right. That is really good stuff because God uses that to refine us. And like I say, we're going to suffer. And when God burns off those impurities, he sees his reflection in you. Number three, when I trust God in the fire, God will give me a new freedom. A new freedom. I talk to Luke a lot about this. And my wife is just, God gives us a new liberty, that we're not so bound up. And the world means for a lot of things to enslave you and me and to keep God from using us, you know. But he can, I want to tell you something, he can use that same problem to liberate you. You see, I had some problems trying to live up to other people's expectations. I had some problems concerned about the opinions of other people. I don't know if you have that or not. I had some problems concerned about pleasing other people. I was really concerned about what other people thought of me. Well, then all of a sudden God said, I'm going to make you a pastor. And during that time, through that fire and those struggles, I found out it wasn't important what you guys thought of me. I found out that your opinions didn't matter. I received a lot of them. And I still do. But see, now I live for an audience of one. And it's his opinion that matters. He will use the same thing that bothers you to set you free. I can't tell you how much freedom means to me now. A new freedom. A new liberty. So what's holding you back? What's tying you down? That's what tied me down. Yours may be different. But what's holding you back? You got to ask that. Psalm 66:12 says, these are the Israelites saying, God, you let captors set foot on our neck. Then we went through fire and water, and you let us out to freedom. God even allowed them to be slaves. Guys, God wants you to be free. He wants me to be free. That's why I get excited about freedom. When I yell it out sometimes, I know some of you laugh, some of you think it's funny, but I'm excited about freedom because I was enslaved by what others thought of me for a long time. And it's freedom. When I finally came to that and God brought me out of that, I'm not going back. I am not going back. comes, freedom comes with a high cost of pain sometimes. It comes with a lot of heat. But it's good. It's good. Like I say, I'm fearless now. I feel like I'm fearless. And I'm not afraid anymore. You know, I found out I don't have to have everybody to love me. And I don't have to have everybody to like me. I don't need their approval to be happy. I like me, and God likes me, and if you don't, that's your problem. I'm all right. But don't deny Christ. I want to tell you guys, young, old, don't just think I'm talking to the teenagers when I see this, but don't deny Christ so that you can be popular. Do the right thing. Do the right thing. And I want to tell you, God may have to take you through a fire so that you can experience freedom, so that you can be liberated. And I beg you as your pastor to live for an audience of one. And I wish and I pray that for you every day almost. Number four. This is my favorite one. You'll see why in a little bit, because it's rather, I found a lot of humor in this one. God makes sure I come out unharmed. God makes sure that I come out unharmed. Look what he does in 26, 27. Then Nebuchadnezzar came as close as he could to the door of the flaming furnace and shouted, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out. Come out at once. Did you notice something here? This is something I learned. Now remember, just a few passages before, he said, I see four men. He didn't ask but three of them to come out. Did y'all notice that? I just noticed that. That's something I learned this week. I thought, as I was reading, he didn't ask that fourth guy to come out. You know why? I think he was scared. I think he knew that it was the Son of God. I think he knew that it was somebody powerful, somebody that had protected them. I think he knew they were divine. He didn't want him out. He did not want him out. He said, three. So where are we at? I just found that funny. So the three men stepped out of the fire, and then the princes, the prefects, the governors, and advisors crowded around them and saw that the fire had not touched them. Not a hair on their heads were singed, and their clothing was not scorched. They didn't even smell of smoke. They didn't even smell of smoke. All I got to do is get close to the fire. All I got to do is cook a hot dog. And I got to go take a shower. And I just smell like smoke. But here's what I found was just wonderful. These guys came out of there. They weren't singed. Their hair was on their head. Their clothes were untouched. Y'all know how I've been calling this series Unshakable? Not only were these guys unshakable, they were unbakable. That ain't corny. Y'all know it's funny. Unshakable and unbakable. These three guys are something, ain't they? Y'all know it's funny. Funny to me. But what it tells me is God makes sure that we're unharmed. He'll make sure that you're unharmed. Number five. If you trust God in the furnace, it will bring unbelievers to God. It's a testimony. When you trust God in the furnace, you're a witness. How you handle pain, how much you trust God when you're under pressure, how much you trust God when the heat is on, is going to be a witness. It's going to be a testimony. However you act under pressure, however, if you react in anger, that's your testimony. If you act Christ-like, that's your testimony. It's your witness. But when the heat is on in your life will be your most powerful witness. When the heat is on, when the pressure's on in your life will be your most powerful testimony. Bar none. Because you're not much of a witness when everything's going good in your life. I mean, you're just not. But when you're faithful to God and you trust God implicitly, when you're in pain, when you're under pressure, when you're in the fire, people go, man, how do they do that? How do they do that? That's a witness. That's a testimony. And this pain can be used, this pain that you're going through can be used in your life mission. In your life mission. There's somebody, I was telling somebody in between services, they're talking about me working as much as I do some, and they said, why do you work at the funeral home? I said, well, as I said, it's just my ministry to go retrieve the bodies and talk to the families. And I said, I didn't know that until 21 years ago when my daughter died and they came to get my daughter. And it was a friend of mine that came. My daughter dying was the greatest pain of my life. Absolute worst pain of my life. Not a day goes by now I don't think of her. And when Dud came, he was a friend of mine, and I couldn't have handed her over to just anybody. And I handed her to Dud, and Dud, it was ice and snow that day, and Dud took her, and he brought a baby seat up there, and he buckled her in, and he just talked to her, and the truck was four-wheel drive, and he said, Jim, I'll take care of her. I knew then that was going to be my life mission. That out of my greatest pain would come my greatest ministry. You see, I don't even consider this my greatest ministry. I consider those nights when I wake up at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning to go retrieve someone's loved one my greatest ministry. And I knew. And so I started then working on my reputation. I'm still working on it. Because I want people to feel comfortable. I want people to feel good to know when I go get the remains of their loved ones. And I want them to feel, said, old Jim got her. Old Jim to take care of it. And that they feel good to know that. And that came out of my greatest pain. So see, I believe whatever your greatest pain is going to be your greatest ministry. I believe it is. So, you're going to have to figure that out. How you're going to react from that. These guys impressed the king. Daniel 3:28 says this. Then the king said, praise to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel to rescue his servants. Underline this part. They trusted in him. They defiled my command and were willing to die rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. They trusted in him. I hope you can say that about me. Maybe it's my, what's the word, epitaph on my funeral. He trusted in him. I hope I can say that about you, is that you trusted in him. I believe that would be the highest compliment of all. So the question I have out of this to you guys is, what are you willing to die for? What are you willing to die for? Have you ever, and maybe you haven't, but I like written lists. Have you ever sat down and made a list of what you're willing to die for? What you're willing to die for? You know what Ozzie Johnson said this morning at 8 o'clock service? It'd be a short list. And you know what? He's right. Of what I'm willing to die for, it would be a short list. And probably you too. But here's what I'm going to say. And until you know what you're willing to die for, you can't really live. Until you know what you're willing to die for, you're just existing. You're just coasting through life. You got to figure out what you're willing to die for, what's worth to you dying for. And if you haven't done it yet, you're just existing. But I'm telling you, when you do, freedom. Freedom. 29. Well, I like this one too. Therefore, I make this decree. If anyone says anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they will be put to death, and their houses will be destroyed. He wasn't completely humbled yet. There is no other God who can save anyone like this. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to even higher positions in the province of Babylon. He said, all right, guys, you're not going to disrespect their God. He said, because no God can save you like theirs can. And guess what? That's still true today. There is no God that can save you and me like God. No God. It's still true. But I want to ask you this, because I've talked to you a lot, and I know a lot of you going through some fires right now. Who are you looking to save you out of the fiery furnace? Who are you looking to save? Who are you looking to get you out of the deep water? Who are you looking for? I'm telling you, the government ain't going to get you out of it. The government's not going to save you. Popular culture is not going to save you. Your friends are not going to save you. Nope. No other gods that will save you. Let me tell you something, guys. You need a Savior. I need a Savior. That's why we have. That's why we celebrate Christmas. Why would God waste his time and his son if we didn't need a Savior? Why would he even come? Jesus would have never had to die on a cross if we didn't need a Savior. We need a Savior. Okay? We got that? Then I want you to pay attention to something. They got promoted again. Every time somebody passes the test in this book of Daniel, they get promoted. Behind every success, there is a test. Said all three were promoted. More responsibility. It's a test of life. Guys, like I say, don't miss any of these services. I want you, as your pastor, I want you to get promoted in life. I want you to succeed. I want you to get better and better and closer to the Lord and do better in the marketplace, do better in school, do better on the athletic field, do better in academia. But I want you to get there. Now, I don't know if I told you or not, I may take a break from Daniel. I'm getting into Christmas mood and come back in January, but we'll see you next Sunday. Number six, last one. God will reward my faith in heaven. God will reward my faith in heaven. There's going to be rewards that are handed out in heaven for how much that you and I trusted God. And this has nothing to do with your salvation. Now, this is afterwards. You know, I'm talking about how much you trusted God the rest of your life after you received salvation. And the Bible says that we're all builders. And I'm getting close to ending here. We're all builders of our life. And we choose to build either a strong life or a weak life. God gives us the permission to do whatever we want. And you get to choose two things. Number one, you get to choose the foundation. You get to choose the foundation. And what I mean by that is what you're going to build your life on. So what's going to be your very foundation? And then number two, you get to choose the building materials. You get to choose the stuff that you're going to build your life on. And I'm going to encourage you to choose stuff that won't burn up. Choose eternal stuff. Because you can't go... Don't choose stuff that's going to fade away. What I'm trying to tell you is you choose, whatever you choose will be tested. It's going to be tested. 1 Corinthians 3 says this, each of us must be careful how we build our lives because Christ is the only solid foundation. So choose your foundation solidly. Don't choose it on your brain. Don't choose it on your looks. Don't choose it on your job. Don't choose... The only solid foundation is God. Whatever we build on that foundation will be tested by fire. If what we built is left standing, we will be rewarded. But if what we've built is burned up by the fire, we will lose our reward. Don't build your hopes on no man. Don't build your hopes on no woman. Build your hope, build your faith, build your foundation on the solid name of Jesus Christ. Amen? I'm telling you. Yet we will be saved like someone escaping from the fires. Now, don't build your hopes on popular opinion. And just don't do that. He's not talking about salvation here. Because once you're saved by Christ, you are eternally saved. Eternally saved. You can't be unsaved. And if you've given your life to Christ, if you've given your life to Him, you can't lose your salvation no matter what. You can't be unborn. I mean, He has you. I believe that the Bible teaches that once you're saved, you're always saved. You might break the fellowship, but you're not going to break the relationship. Amen? You see what I'm talking about? You see, Luke may get mad at me, but he's always going to be my son. We may not talk for a while. We may fight for a while once we see each other. But he will always be my son. He can never not be my son. Does that make any sense? He's always my son. And so... You can't lose your salvation, but you can lose your rewards. I want you to have great rewards in heaven. And how do you do that? By trusting God in the fire. Trusting God in the fire and doing it His way. By caring more about what God says than what the world and everyone else says. And so, are you going to listen to Him? Or are you going to listen to the world? That's what you've got to decide. So where are you feeling the heat today? Is it peer pressure? You got some job pressure coming along? You got sexual pressure? Are you getting pressured from someone to have sex? Do you have pressure at school? Do you have financial pressure? Where are you feeling this pressure? You got to identify that. Then you got to identify what's worth dying for. Guys, I want you to pass the test the way these three guys did, by trusting God in the fire. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we do love You. We love You through the fire, and we thank You that You're with us. We thank You that not only are we unshakable through You, but we're also unbreakable because You said it won't be any harm to us. That You don't have plans to harm us, but to prosper us. And I ask You, Lord, to help folks through their pain and that them realize that their greatest pain will be their greatest ministry. And I pray for freedom. I pray for freedom. I pray for young men to be the men that You call them to be and the young ladies be the ladies that You call them to be, not what the world calls them to be. I pray, Lord, that they begin today to build their foundations on Jesus Christ. Then I pray for my men and women to be successful, promoted, and to be outstanding members of Your family. Lord, we love You. It's in Your name we pray. Amen.